Venerable clergy and reverend sisters, today we celebrate a great feast, the feast of St. Lawrence. The church proclaims is of such a great rank that it supersedes even the Sunday. And so we wear the red vestments in honor of a martyr. We pray the Mass written for the feast of St. Lawrence. This great martyr, I'm sure many of you are familiar with his story. He was one of the first ministers of the church. It was under Pope Sixtus II, while persecution was still rampant in Rome. This time, persecution under Valerian. There were seven deacons ordained and assigned to the Church of Rome in its various districts. St. Lawrence was the head of these seven deacons, and their particular charge was the material possession of the church. They were to accept donations, anything given to the church, take stock of it, take care of it, and then most especially, their charge was to distribute to the poor. Pope Saint Sixtus was discovered by the Roman persecutors, and he and the six other deacons were taken together and martyred. This left only Saint Lawrence, really as the representative clergy of Rome. It was not long before St. Lawrence was discovered and was ordered to come before Valerian. And he was ordered at the same time to bring with him all of the riches of the church. He was to make an accounting of the emperor and to turn over whatever wealth had been accumulated. St. Lawrence got to work immediately, distributing all of what remained of the wealth of the church. And when he appeared before Valerian, he brought with him a group of the most poor, destitute beggars, even the crippled and the disformed. Valerian was outraged, as you might imagine. St. Lawrence, of course, he said, "These are the true riches of the church. We have no other riches than these, Christ's poor." So enraged was Valerian that he would not give Lawrence the same mercy showed to the others, a quick death. But he was condemned to be burned alive slowly upon a spit or a grill. And so St. Lawrence, how did he accept his fate? We probably know this part of the story at least. He accepted this condemnation with the greatest possible joy. He would gladly give his life for his faith. And as the torturers, the executioners, burned him alive, he became famous by saying, "You can turn me over. I'm done on this side." Making even a joke as he was mercilessly tortured and killed. This was not just to make light of the situation. This was to give strength to those other Christians who would no doubt suffer the same or similar fates. To realize, to show that Almighty God gives strength to his martyrs, to those who give generously, as we read in the epistle today. And so St. Lawrence is the patron of many things. Most particularly, St. Lawrence is the patron of deacons. He is also the patron of cooks and comedians. But what is the true posterity we are given by St. Lawrence? It is not just this humorous quip that he made while being martyred. It is the generosity that he displayed. St. Lawrence was, if he were a lesser man, you might imagine in that extreme moment, Pope Sixtus had been killed as well as the other deacons. The entire wealth of the church, we don't know how much that was, but it had to have been a reasonable sum. That entire wealth was completely and totally in his hands. A lesser man may have decided to take that money and flee. After all, was he not the last representative of the clergy of Rome? The temptation may have been strong to go and keep alive the lineage, to make sure that someone was in charge. We're not going to let this wealth fall into the hands of the enemy, obviously. But no, St. Lawrence did not flee. He set immediately to the task of giving away to the last penny, all of this wealth, so that he might appear before his judge with nothing earthly holding him down. This example, as with so many of the other saints, teaches us about many things, but I think of the virtue of poverty. Detachment from the things of this world. The focus that we need to have on heavenly treasure. St. Lawrence realized that this money, this earthly treasure, these temporal goods could gain for him nothing if he held on to them. And we've talked about this before, but what an important concept. What is the value of a thing? You might have a $20 bill or a $100 bill. What is the value of a $100 bill? Actually, it's not very much. It's a bit of linen and some ink and some reflective tape, maybe a couple of dollars. But we have agreed that the value of a $100 bill is what it can give us, what we can trade for it. By giving up our ownership of this $100 bill, we will receive a certain sum of other items. And that is how money has its value. This is true of all possessions we might have on this earth. there is a value that they have, but it only has its value if we relinquish the item. If we give it up, we can receive something in return. What if I were to tell you, rather a shocking statement perhaps, what if I were to tell you that you could, in a real sense, buy heaven? Well, sounds absurd. There have been heresies, difficulties in the church centered around this very concept, the error of simony. You can't buy spiritual things. But in a sense, maybe we can. If we are to take all of the things that give us pleasure, all of the things that to which we might form an attachment, and we give them away, if we give them up, can we not buy for ourselves heavenly treasure? Our Lord tells us this many times in the Gospels. He says, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell all thou hast, give to the poor, and follow me. He showed us this by his own example, the example of his earthly life. When the sons of thunder, James and John, they were brought to our Lord by their mother, and she asked a favor. She wanted her sons to be at our Lord's side, one on the right, one on the left in his kingdom. And our Lord asked them, do you have the wherewithal to follow me? They replied, of course, in the affirmative, but he said, the birds of the air have their nests, the foxes their dens, but the Son of Man has not whereon to rest his head. He lived his life in abject poverty, particularly those 3 years of his public life, depending upon the generosity of others to have even the necessities of life. He would, as we know, die possessed of absolutely nothing, not even the clothes on his back. And so there is something to this idea of poverty. Our Lord came to save us. He came to redeem us by his death on the cross. But did he also not come to be an example to us in all things? This example is given in almost every instant of his life. He was born in a stable, in the most dire of circumstances, the most abject poverty. My dear friends in Christ, this must mean something. St. Lawrence knew it. Even though he was given charge of these earthly things, he knew that they were only for a purpose. They were a means to an end. They could be used for good. He followed the injunction of Christ exactly to help the poor, to give alms. They were not for him. How do we follow St. Lawrence? How do we follow our blessed Lord in this realm of holy poverty? Of course, for those of us who are religious, it is an obvious thing. This is one of the three great promises that we have made, that we will follow our Lord as closely as possible. We have made a vow to not be attached to things of this world, to reserve our hearts for God and God alone. But for the rest of the faithful, this is perhaps a little bit more difficult, because it is not God's will for you to make a vow of poverty. You are to live in the world, but not be of the world. And this is the key. You are to have possessions, and it is okay to have possessions. It is even all right to have nice things. But they can never become so important that they distract us in any way from our ultimate goal, which is heaven. We have to detach ourselves from these things. As we can so often do, there are examples in the lives of the saints. The religious might follow the beautiful examples of saints like St. Francis of Assisi or St. Clare, whose feast we celebrate this coming week, to give up everything, absolutely everything. But there are other examples. I think of St. Louis, King of France, who indeed had possessions and many. Might even say the entire kingdom of France was, in a sense, his possession. Because of his state in life, it was expected of him that he wear the most regal of costumes, that he be adorned in jewels and velvets and silk. But St. Louis, underneath these riches, jewels and velvet and silk, he wore a hair shirt to have that constant reminder that these things did not belong to him. He was not going to be attached to them in any way. And so St. Louis, as with many other saints, even though he had every luxury, every earthly happiness at his fingertips, he did not attach himself to these things. He had poverty of spirit. This is the example that we must follow. Remember that God will always take care of us. He told us about the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow, yet their heavenly Father takes care of them. So why are we so anxious about what we will put on, what we will eat? Leave it up to him. My dear friends in Christ, we have great possessions, whether in the worldly sense we are well-to-do or not so well-to-do. We have, as it were, this $100 bill with which we can barter. If we are willing to give it up, if we are willing to give up, at least in spirit, the things of this world, we can gain for ourselves eternal treasure. Let us follow the example of St. Lawrence. His fortitude, even his mirth in adversity, but in this particularly, that he had an incredible focus on what was most important. He would not allow himself to be distracted by the things of this world. He knew that they had a value. That is why he helped the poor. That is why he gave these things up as his last act on earth. Let us be so generous as the gospel or the epistle tells us today. God loveth a cheerful giver. Let us be ready and willing to give up everything cheerfully for love of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.